So wish to welcome everyone. Especially we have very distinguished and honored guest today amongst all of us. Srimati Juhi Chawla ji, she has very graciously accepted or requested to be here. So let us welcome her in our midst by lovely chanting. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So today we wish to enumerate a little bit on this topic, though this is a topic of a lifetime. When you speak about Gatha, Gatha means Katha of generations. That means this is a legacy of wisdom, history, prosperity, bounty, abundance. And therefore, this is what we are specially blessed in the land of India. God is Bharat, and especially Bharat Gatha should be known to the Indians first. Right? It shouldn't happen that someone else speaks to us about Bharat and tells how great your land is. Indians should know about their history well. And therefore, this is a small attempt to recapitulate our history, probably a refresh a little bit. We have left our history topics long back ago. We must have got rid of the history because you had difficulty with remembering dates. Now you are remembering the dates very easy. Right? After the history is over, the mystery of the dates begin. So, never bother. Don't be scared that we are going to remind you of the dates again. But definitely some dates are very important. And today let's keep our date with history for this session. Everything depends upon our antiquity, our legacy, our roots. So, Bharat. What would a person understand about Bharat? We can try to understand from this small anecdote which happened in the history of Bharat. Especially when the Greek king Alexander came. He spent a time in India, a lot of time, because everyone wanted to come to India, Bharat. That was known as the land of plenty, the land of beauty, the land of wealthy. And so all of them wanted to come to India. We should always know that people came to India for plundering, right? Everyone came to India to loot. But did you know that you had enough? Now if you realize that you have still enough left, you can expect some more plunders. So therefore this Bharat Gatha is also meant to keep you alert from further plunders which will happen. History repeats itself, that we have heard, but not for those who are wise. And therefore, we the wise Indians are expected not to repeat the history again. So, Alexander when he came, he saw a coral. Definitely this age is the age of Kali, the age of coral. So he found two people, villagers, quarreling. Now what were they quarreling about? It's very important to understand. So this person was telling to the other person that take this gold away. It doesn't belong to me, it belongs to you. Alexander was thinking this is not an ordinary quarrel. I mean, I need to be here. There is gold and someone wants to give it away. Anyways, this other fellow said, no, this is not mine. It belongs to you. The other person said, no, this belongs to you. No, this belongs to me. How is this? Controversy. The fellow had sold his land to the other villager, and in that land, when he dug up the earth to do some plowing, he found there were pots of gold, probably left by the ancestors of this fellow who sold it. And he said, "No, you sold me the land, but you didn't sell me the gold. Therefore, the gold belongs to you." The other person said, "When I sold the land, I sold the gold along with the land too." Now, how to resolve this conflict? These are conflicts of Bharat. Other people have no conflicts about this. Oh, there is gold. If you won't give it to me, I will snatch it from you. Guess. Indians were like this. But they were, that was the beauty of the simplicity. But did you think this quarrel was resolved? Very easily it got resolved. A wise man came in the village. He said, "Okay, let's resolve this very amicably. The person who bought the land will give his daughter in marriage to the son of the person who sold the land. And in gifts, the daughter would be supplied with plenty amount of gold as a matter of family exchange, and then you can give the gold away to your daughter, and your daughter is married to the person who sold the land." So both were happy and united in a more close relationship. Controversy became a congenial relationship. This is Bharat. If they come to India, if they come to Bharat, their conflicts, their confusion becomes a congenial atmosphere. So, therefore, who would not like to be here? India first. Everyone had this slogan. No one wanted to be in their nation. Everyone wanted to go to India. Right? And now in India, no one wants to remain in India. Everyone wants to go out of India. No doubt, all the wealth which went out of India is there where you want to go. Actually, you are going to India, in India only. Because that's the wealth of India. The prosperity which happened everywhere in the world was because of India. India made the whole world prosperous and rich, and still continues to be a potential. So, India first and Indians best. Everywhere Indians are regarded for their high capacity, potential, their wisdom, their technical expertise, their hard work. And therefore, let's see the state of the Indian right now. In fact, this is what we find, a survey, a consumer behavior survey on a young teenager like all of us. They are all asking, what are the needs of this person? The person has emerging trend, skin care, celebrity endorsers, that means they want something to be endorsed by a celebrity, a product that will be very easy for them to accept. Online needs are high, so you are all likely to buy online. So let's catch them online. And various likes are being met with here. So this has become the culture of society, a consumer behavior. So amidst all of this, we have to ask ourselves, what's holding us back? What's keeping us back here? In fact, when Arjun was addressed in the Bhagavad Gita, or addressed by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was addressed as Bharat. O son of Bharat. O descendant of Bharat. Bharat. Bharat, the king, was the son of King Dushyanta and Shakuntala. Very, very powerful king. And therefore, it behooved Arjun to behave in the footsteps, in the legacy of his predecessors. So Arjun was always reminded of his predecessors, how great they were. And therefore, he was required to be in their league. So therefore, when we are being asked the question, what is your consumer trend? What is your consumer like? Or what are your trending likes to buy? Are we being asked this question? who are your predecessors? No. The question being asked is plainly, how can I get your money? And therefore, this is exactly what the Western trend was. Everything, everyone outside India was asking this question, how to get the wealth of India very easily. And that's how started the whole saga of plunders. Probably if you go back to the time scale, let's go to Satyuga for a change of times, because you're too much in Kali Yuga. Satyuga, a nice age. Therefore, Satyuga was the reign of great kings, great sages, who had a very pure atmosphere for very crystal clear thinking, ideology in place, principles, values, integrity, beauty, relationships, divinity. Everything was a bounty. There was no scarcity. Treta Yuga came, there was a little contention here. Everything became a little narrower. There were a little bit fights. Fights over big things. Dwapar Yuga became much more difficult and became much more conflicting. And then we find the end of Dwapar Yuga was a great war. And Kali Yuga, you can expect that, only wars and no peace. So from peace to war is a cycle. And therefore, we ought to prepare with the moving times, the changing times. And we should really know who we are, whom we belong to, and where do we belong to. What is this age? We want the peace of Satyuga, but in Kali Yuga is difficult to get. We want the happiness, the bounty, the accessibility of Treta Yuga in Kali Yuga is difficult to get. We want the chivalrousness, the strength of the Kshatriyas, the valiant people, the beauty of those times is difficult to get in Kali Yuga. So therefore, we should ask these questions. What's holding us back is not just the times only, but something called as self-denial. Okay, let me just a little bit of discuss this self-denial, a little bit of in terms to the history. The 17th millennium or the 17th century was the time when, from 1st century to the 17th century, was the time of Indians who reigned prosperous, the whole world. They contributed to the 33% of world's gross domestic produce. If we talk of consumer behavior here, it is very appropriate to discuss this. Yet, 18th century was 25% behind China, 33% overtook us. And then, at the end of 18th century, 1900, it was 2.5%. Guess, where did it all vanish? Who do you think did the magic trick? Our friends? Who were the friends from the 17th century to the end of the 18th century? Are you feeling shy? Are you feeling fearful? Who were they? But you're as if speaking as if, you know, there's going to be British spies around. Who's going to speak this word British? We're going to catch them. Let us find them. We'll find who are the ones who are going to raise their voices. The British. The British or not? Are you sure? Yes. You should be sure who looted us at least. If you don't know how much they looted us, at least you know who looted us. This is exactly what we are discussing today. When we see all of this state of affairs, is a mode of self-denial. Even to admit that we were looted, we are like, you know, we are so timid in accepting it. Imagine if they were going to put any resistance, we would actually have been there. I don't think so. We would be actually saying, the British. The British are coming to loot us. Okay, let's give them a gift. Atithi Devo Bhava. Yet, Arjun was in the same mode. The battlefield of Kurukshetra was filled with the same self-denial environment. In Arjun's mind, Arjun, when seeing the people on the other side of the army, they being more aggressive, they being more impulsive, they being more uncontrolled, they being more greedy, they being more exploitative, they being more selfish, he felt, what to do with these people? We can't change them. Let us accept the way they are, but we will become better people. How? By denying ourselves what we actually would require. Let them take what they want. Wasn't it a nice proposal? Like Bharat. Same way. So therefore Arjun was in that mode of self-denial and he expected Krishna to endorse his noble act. Yet, we find the Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjun and only incited Arjun to fight on the basis of true knowledge. We are distributing Bhagavad Gita's this month of December to everyone. And when we distribute this Bhagavad Gita's, we should not feel, I am distributing a religious book. As what people say, Gita is a book of religion. Gita is not a book of religion. Gita is a manual to overcome self-denial. And therefore, when we approach Bhagavad Gita in that perspective, we will be proud of picking up the Bhagavad Gita. We will be very much energized hearing one shloka of the Gita when Krishna says, Arjun, give up your lethargy and fight. This lethargy is not in Arjun, but is in all of us. The self-denial mode. And the because of this, the self-denial mode comes because of a confused ideology as to what am I to do. The ideology is that I want to be happy, I want to be peaceful. Therefore the Bhagavad Gita ends, the second chapter ends as contents of Gita summarized. This much was enough for Arjun. But thereafter what happened was what was needed for us. Gita ended for Arjun in the second chapter and thereafter he kept on asking questions so that we could get those answers. And therefore the confused ideology leads to a crisis of identity. The ideology is peace based on non-violence. A very peaceful coexistence. We always feel the best way to get happiness in life is peace. And Arjun wanted to pursue that path of peace. But actually, it was a mode of self-destruct button. He was pressing the self-destruct button. Along with that, he was creating a huge explosion in which many others would have been killed. Guess why? Because the plunderer was there in form of Duryodhan and the Kauravas. And if that plunder would have taken place without resistance, we would have history of plunder not from 18th century, 17th century, would have plunders beginning from the 50th century. Right? From Duryodhan, 5000 years ago, we would have got the same story. We would have only heard in our history, a history of plunders beginning from Duryodhan. Krishna did not want that happen. Krishna wanted to protect our history, protect our legacy. And therefore, this is what we find. So therefore, confused ideology. The confused ideology is that I am very happy if I can be peace with myself, but you know the people around me may be suffering, but then that's their karma. So let us allow this to happen. And therefore thereafter, after confused ideology comes fragmented loyalty. We have not been able to become loyal to any of the cause that we are actually willing to fight for. Because there is nothing to fight for, there is nothing to die for. In fact, I was being told for a very nice history, story from Shivaji Maharaj. I'm going to tell you a lot of stories from the history. Let's see if you can remember something of the stories that you heard or read from your history textbooks. Probably you have not heard these of these stories because they were never in your history textbooks. That's why the Bharat Gatha is here. What is not in the history textbook is Bharat Gatha. And what is in the history textbook is the textbook written by the victors. History is written by the victors. In fact, Japanese, they had a very strong kamikaze army. It was a suicidal army of people who used to give up their life for their nation. But then, post-colonial invasion, intrusion in Japan by the British, they diluted the history of kamikazes. They eliminated that version, that they had such kind of people. And what happened as a matter of that, they became very docile and very, they lost that patriotic temper. And therefore, the easiest way to erode a person's identity is to evade a person's history, the nation's history, the culture's remnants. Remove all of that and then you don't get anyone. All the people are simply hollow within because they have no substance. They have no ideology, they have no environment, they have no history. They are simply followers of a dictate of created identities. So therefore, Shivaji's realm, there was Pratapraw Gujar. You know the story? Some Maharashtrians here, Marathas. Any Marathas here? Don't be shy to be called as Maratha. You should be shy. Me Maratha hai. Zora ni bola. Aye ka, Maratha hai the. Sagle maage basle, pude basle paaje sagle. Maratha hai na sagle. Maratha pure astad. Aye. Parche aye. So, he defeated Bahadol Khan. He was a staunch Muslim invader, Afghan invader. And on the behest of Shivaji Maharaj, he attacked him. They defeated them. But then when he came back, they said, "No, my army is starving. I have lost all my strength. I lost all my army. Please spare me. Please relieve me. Please grant me asylum." So this Pratapraw Gurjar, feeling a little bit kind-hearted, compassionate, he released him. And when the news came to Shivaji Maharaj, he said, "Who gave you the order to release? He will come back with a greater force and defeat all of us and kill more people." So then when he heard that, Pratapraw Gurjar, he became very enthusiastic. In fact, he said, I have taken the wrong decision. I will not go back and fight with the army. In fact, I will go alone and fight." And then he went, but then six of them went along with him, and seven of them went in the army of 15,000 invaders who were actually coming to invade again on the way back. And they fought so valiantly that they all died. But they stopped this invader to come back. This was the kind of loyalties sometimes they had, but they had to pay the price because of some false compassion. So false compassion, we pay a very heavy price. Krishna did not want to make a history out of it. And therefore the Mahabharata was born and the trigger was the Bhagavad Gita. The Mahabharata war was a war, but the catalyst was the Bhagavad Gita. And Bhagavad Gita stopped another great wave of plunder. Another very dark pages to be written in the Bharat's history. So please try to understand, the Bhagavad Gita that you are reading is actually a book to safeguard our legacy, so that not we will become great, but we have a great opportunity to help everyone. The world needs India more than India needs itself. Please try to understand. And therefore Krishna appeared, Ram appeared, all the avatars came in this land of Bharat. Why do you think this land is so pious? What to speak of the world? Even the Lord needs this land to come. Hai ki nahi? Bhagwan ko bhi jaga chahiye na? If Krishna cannot get this land to come, where will he go? Therefore, Bharat is wanted even by the gods. The gods come here to live in the land of Bharat. Even they value so much. And therefore, this is the value that we have. So, we'll discuss a bit of Bharat Gatha from our ancestors as to what is the goal of the Bharat civilization in three small terms. These are all very huge topics in themselves, but we are just going to touch a little bit of it. And therefore, character. Character is what Bharat is made up of. And therefore, Bharat Maharaj is the king on whose name, the son of King Rishabdev, another name why we are Bharat. Ilavrata Varsha was the name of the tract of land, but thereafter, when King Rishabdev left this world and Bharat Maharaj's son ruled of all the other sons, the name came to be known as Bharat. And this king had a great history, had a great lifestyle, had a great character, and his character is a guiding force for all the Bharatvasis. His journey was from destruction to perfection, which is all our aspiration. All of us aspire that we are all imperfect, but we want to become great, we want to become valuable, we want to become perfect. And Bharat Maharaj represents the character of a person who wants to become like that. And therefore, Bharat Maharaj, in his quest for perfection, he followed the path of renunciation, detachment, yet became attached to a single deer. And that is sometimes a very stumbling block on the path of self-realization. Something small can stumble us. We can be stumbled by a small thing. We don't need to have a big impediment to come in our life to fall. It is the small temptations that disrepute a great man. It's not the big ones. And therefore, Bharat Maharaj, even after stumbling, he did not become discouraged, but he got up back again. In the body of a deer, can you imagine deer? In the body of a deer, not a great chance, not a great opportunity. Very, very depressing, I have to be a deer in the next life. But Bharat Maharaj did not give up his courage. His consciousness was what he carried, and the chance, the opportunity was given to remember what went wrong. And therefore, the memory what Krishna gives to a person is to what goes wrong in life, not what to do right in life. Sometimes we need that memory too, what wrong not to do. Probably Bharat Gatha is about what wrong we must not do, not to repeat the same mistake again. If Bharat Maharaj could repeat that mistake and become a deer, we definitely have less chances. And therefore, in his next life, he was born again as the son of a Brahmin, and thereafter, with great caution and great detachment, he rescued himself from the clutches of illusion and was able to perfect his life. And that's Bharat Maharaj. And thereafter, we can talk about the culture, the three states which were there in Ramayana. Our Gatha is Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharat and Ramayana. And therefore, the three states were that of Ayodhya, Kishkindha and Lanka. In modern day terms, Ayodhya represents the divine state, the divine society where higher values are being pursued, where goals are based on principles and not on instincts. Life is on purpose and not on instinct. And therefore, this represents the ideal Bharat, the Ayodhya state. But the Kishkindha represents the Western model of consumer economies, where Vanara, where Sugriva or Vali were concerned just with the kingdom, just with the pleasures. Whoever would give them, they were willing to follow them. So this is the kind of economy, or this is the kind of states that we are all falling into, is to whoever can give us technology, whoever can give us consumer economy, they are the ones whom we will follow them. These are the kinds of people who are between Ayodhya and Lanka. But there are Lanka societies too. They are the terrorism regime. You know that? Do you find Lanka in this world too? Not the Sri Lanka, but the terrorism regimes, who are willing to just conquer, exploit, torture, inflict violence. Ravan was full of that. He was a terrorist. He was the Adi terrorist. Right? The terrorist of Bharat. He was a great terrorist. But then I was just talking to some of them and said that, you know, even Ravan was there, he did not break the Ram Setu. You know, the Ram Setu is still existing. But there's a debate going on in current day society whether we should break it or not. So I was worried, who is a greater Ravan? Ravan did not think, let us cut off their bridge. They will not go back only. They will have to stay in Lanka only. But therefore, we find that the Ravan is still there, even in Bharat, even in this world. So we are encountering this culture of three states and civilization. The civilization is where human values are being pursued, where divine goals are being aspired for, and where there is a legacy of sacrifice, selflessness and compassion. Unless these societies with the ideal cease, we should see the Bharat, the real Bharat, is where there is character of Bhagavatam, where there is culture of Ramayana, and with the civilization of Mahabharata, where there is ideal governance society, where there is a proper society, the balance of human values, the progress given to divine pursuits, and that's where we come back. But the whole issue that we are facing right now is that we are facing a historical crisis. And that's what we are going to fight today, is the biggest problem amongst all of us, is to really, were we so great? Do we have a real question? I think so. There are leaders in the society today. Whenever there is a debate happening in the society, the leaders, when they talk about the Vedic past, it's become a habit, or it has become very modern to doubt your potential. Oh, were you so great? I think so. You are burning down our scientific temper. When people are talking about Vedic culture, when you're talking about astrology sometimes, well, I think so, there's a whole talk going amongst the politicians about, no, astrology, astronomy, plastic surgery. Are you able to understand what I'm talking about? Are you in tune with the society? Is it really happen? Does it really happen? Is really Karna born out of genetic engineering? What do you think? Was there cloning in the Mahabharata? Yes or no?
Yes.
You sound to be apologetic. Why not? But then this self-doubt is the thing. Why we are so self-doubting? This is the question to be asked. This is the question for today. This is the question of today. Why are we so self-doubting? This is the reason. Let's go to the roots of the issue. The history and the myth. How many of you are proud to say that our mythology is so great? Raise your hands, saying that our mythology is very great. Please, do not be apologetic here. Our mythology is very great. How many of you raise your hands? Okay. Now, our history is very great. Are you able to understand? This word, mythology, so nice to hear. Our mythology. The Western people say our mythology looks so nice, feels so nice. Oh, they are so reverential of our mythology. What does that mean? Your stories are mythical. They are not true. They are meant for a lesson to be imparted to all of you. Because you children needed some lessons to learn, good lessons to learn. Therefore, there are so many sages who created so many stories out of so many situations. They were great people who had great imagination. Probably nothing of this sort was actually there, but we came to your rescue. You know, we saw your pitiable condition, that you are believing any kind of superstition, any kind of belief. You are a land of snake charmers. Yes. India is still called by some people as a land of snake charmers. But what's wrong to be called as a land of snake charmers? Anything wrong? I mean, anything degrading about it? Anything derogatory about it? Nothing derogatory about it. Oh, land of snake charmers means it is not supposed to be very advanced. In fact, very advanced. You can't play with snakes. Indians could play with snakes. Snake charmers, you try to do something with the snake, you probably die. So therefore, ancient Indians were barbarians and civilized by Aryan races. How many of you have managed to gulp the Aryan invasion theory? Kisi ko pata bhi hai ki nahi? Jai Shri Shanti Gopinath ki jai. The Aryan invasion theory explains, if you do not know, please try to understand, go back to your basics history books and find out that chapter where you read that Aryans were the came from an European homeland, and they came to the Dravidian society. Have you heard the word Dravidian? Anyone knows what is Dravidian? The Dravidian races and the Aryan races. Anyone knows about it? What is that? The Dravidian races, when the Aryans came, they flocked to the southern region. They were the dark-skinned people. And the Aryans were the fair-skinned ones. See, therefore Punjabis are fair-skinned, right? And the South Indians are dark-skinned. Just see. Are you getting it? Yes? Such a simple logic. And therefore the Punjabis are the descendants of the Aryans from the European homeland. And you Dravidians are the local nomads. We didn't know what to do. Therefore we came to your rescue with horses. But what you speak about a civilization, your Vedas that you call the Vedas of this very word, the Vedas, these Vedas were written by the Aryans themselves. And we were those Aryans. Therefore you believe that we are superior, you are inferior, we have come back to help you as your superior brothers. And the Proto-Indo-European language was created out of this Aryan invasion theory. And therefore Ramayana, Mahabharata and Puranas are mythology. And therefore this was later on proved false. This has been proven false every day. There are theories coming up. I mean talking about the out of the Aryan in-out theory, that Aryans went from India to everywhere. And therefore, the Saraswati was dated back to 3000 BC by the French satellite and was recorded to be at 3000 BC, the era, which is exactly 5000 years ago, where the Saraswati river started to diminish its presence. And the Mahabharata explains in verses about the mighty Saraswati river. And Vedvyas compiled the Vedas at the banks of Saraswati river. So if Saraswati river is 3000 BC, that means the Vedas are how many years old? 5000 years old, written by Vyasdev. Makes sense? The link is complete. Any confusion? The ideology is clear. And therefore Sanskrit was the mother of all languages. Even before any language came to this world, it was Sanskrit. Dwarka, Hastinapur and Indraprastha are all discovered to be true and archaeologically and astronomically too. So this resolves your this resolves everything, that you are not, are you Dravidians? Any dark skin here is Dravidian and any fair skin is a Aryan. True? Myth or history? Myth. Sure? I want to make sure that you're not in a self-denied mode at the end of the session. That will be the success of this program. If you have a self-doubt at the end of this program, then we really need to register you for a 7-day program. So, therefore, to make you comforting out of all these things, probably I'll do a crash course here for the benefit of all those ones. And therefore, they were masters in metallurgy. The famous Ashoka pillar made by the Chandragupta. The two who was the king of the Gupta dynasty. If you see those, pillars, that is survived 600 to 800, 700 years of restless, is a restless wonder. There is arithmetic. Probably the zero was invented in India because it was shunya. The shunya was in India, therefore they could get to zero, and zero made everything complete. And therefore the whole Arabic numerals went from India to Arabian countries, and they came back, and they came back as Arabic numerals. Actually, they were Indian numerals. Expert in medicine and surgery, my dear friend doctor, he gave me a very nice explanation as to how there's a plastic surgery in India done way back two centuries, that is like more than 4 or 5 centuries ago. There was these surgeons who could, surgeons were not even surgeons, they were the commonplace people. There was a British commander who attacked the father of Tipu Sultan, and he attacked and he was defeated, and uski naak kat di gayi thi. So he was bleeding, and he was carrying his bleeding skin, protruding skin of the nose, and he was going across, and he came to the district of Belgaum, and one cobbler said, "You come, what is your problem?" He said, "I'll fix your problem. Your nose has been chipped off." And he did a plastic surgery for this British commander. He went back and said, "These people know plastic surgery." Who? The cobbler. Even the cobbler was a plastic surgeon. So imagine, if they are Aryans, then they should have known plastic surgery by the time. So who were the Aryans? And who were the Dravidians? So even that we should be very careful to understand. In medicine, there was no smallpox in India. There was no epidemic in India only till the British came. After the British came, there was malnutrition, there was hunger, famine. If you find everything else that went wrong with India, was out of the British rule. The Afghans, the Muslim invaders, they plundered India, but they remained to choose in India, and they made India prosperous. They didn't take the wealth away from India. And therefore, medicine, surgery. In fact, the smallpox, they had a vaccine. They had something which by with the pus of that same disease would be kept as a solution and would be applied to the person as a vaccine. And then be covered over with the boiled rice powder. And thereafter, there would be a fever for 4 or 5 days, and there would be no more smallpox for the whole life. These were the ancient Vaidyas of the Bharatiya civilization. So we have a potential. Why do we forget that? If we could do something 5 centuries ago, definitely we can do right now many of things. And this is the kind of exact confidence what actually Krishna was trying to give to Arjun. The masters of architect, town planning, astronomy, practically the sugar was invented in India, sharkara. People are mad because they had never seen sweetness without honey. And therefore we find that in the 16th century, the British came to know there was something like sugar in India. They came to India, they took the sugar, they learned how to make sugar, then they got the sugar cane done from the fields of African countries, and they were very much scared to give the secret to them. Therefore, they processed sugar in London. Such insecure societies were ruling the nation. They did a lot of plunder and a lot of torture too. And therefore we have a little bit of... So therefore, even exponent of martial arts, the Kalaripayattu, how many of you have learned Kalaripayattu here? Anyone here? No Kalari? Oh, there's one person out there. I can see your face. Oh yeah, this Krishna. He has learned basic Kalari. And that Kalari is the martial arts which actually was was expounded to China by Bodhirama, who went from Kanchipuram. And he taught the Shaolin Academy, the people who taught them how to have self-defense. And that's how there was this situation where there was martial arts also. India was the mother of martial arts. And excellent. Anyone knows Kalari is like a very traditional art. And This was when Vasco da Gama came to India. In fact, everyone, when they wanted to come to India, when they saw that India was full of opportunities, they could not reach India because they didn't have big ships. First time ever Vasco da Gama would be able to cross the tip of this Africa, the South Africa, which is right now, and that tip came to be known as Cape of Good Hope. It was first time they got hope to reach India. So you should know these historical places, why they are Good Hope, because they were thinking, thank God, at least I can go in the direction of India here. And when they went there, they could see, oh, this is the place where there are ships which are 10 times larger than their ships. São Gabriel was the ship of Vasco da Gama, and he and Christopher Columbus were looking for India very badly. And therefore they could, after some time they were trying to find here and there, they landed in the wrong place. They called the people of Americas as Red Indians, because they were looking for Indians. Except for India, everyone was looking for India. Because Bharat was so great. Now, it is like a pizza effect. Do you know about the pizza effect? Anyone knows about the pizza effect? In Italy, the pizza was considered as useless. Not so great. So they rejected that dish out of their cuisine. Some other that went to America, and guess what would have happened? Retail, marketing. It is said people want to have manufacturing like Japan, technology like Germany, and retail like Americans. That means they can sell anything to anyone by any means. So they could really make pizza a great thing. So the Americans, they loved pizza. And now after that sometime, the pizza went all over the world except for Italy. And then Italy felt, better we accept it. Otherwise, you know, what kind of image the world will get? That pizza was there was something wrong in Italy. This is wrong pizza of Italy. So you know, let us save our face. So they accepted pizza back inside. That's the pizza effect. Probably we don't want the India to come the same way the pizza came back to Italy. Do you want that way, the pizza effect? No, you want yoga or you want yoga? You want pranayam or you want pranayama? You want Ayurveda or you want Ayurveda? So therefore, we want the original. Why do you want to export it and then get an export? That's exactly what the British did. So therefore, I'm just going to show you this, maybe like if this interests you a bit. This is the you get it there? Volume.
And he was to make some extraordinary mathematical discoveries. The key to Madhava's success was the concept of the infinite. Madhava discovered that you could add up infinitely many things with dramatic effects. Previous cultures have been nervous of these infinite sums. Madhava was happy to play with them. For example, here's how one can be made up by adding infinitely many fractions. I'm heading from 0 to 1 on my boat. But I can split my journey up into infinitely many fractions. So I can get to a half. Then I can sail on a quarter. Then an eighth. Then a sixteenth. And so on. The smaller the fractions I move, the nearer to one I get. But I'll only get there once I've added up infinitely many fractions. Now, physically and philosophically, it seems rather a challenge to add up infinitely many things. But that's the power of mathematics, to make sense of the impossible. By producing a language to articulate and manipulate the infinite, you can prove that after infinitely many steps, you'll reach your destination. Such infinite sums are called infinite series. And Madhava was doing a lot of research into the connections between these series and trigonometry. First, he realized that he could use the same principle of adding up infinitely many fractions to capture one of the most important numbers in mathematics, pi. Pi is the ratio of the circle's circumference to its diameter. It's a number that appears in all sorts of mathematics, but is especially useful for engineers, because any measurements involving curves soon require pi. So for centuries, mathematicians searched for a precise value for pi. It was in 6th century India that the mathematician Aravayata gave a very accurate approximation for pi, namely 3.1416. He went on to use this to make a measurement of the circumference of the Earth, and he got it as 24,835 miles, which amazingly is only 70 miles away from its true value. But it was in Kerala in the 15th century that Madhava realised he could use infinity to get an exact formula for pi. By successively adding and subtracting different fractions, Madhava could hone in on an exact formula for pi. First, he moved 4 steps up the number line. That took him way past pi. So next, he took 4/3 of a step, or 1 1/3 steps, back. Now he'd come too far the other way. So he headed forward 4/5 of a step. Each time, he alternated between 4 divided by the next odd number. 4/7, 4/9, 4/11, and so on. He zigzagged up and down the number line, getting closer and closer to pi. He discovered that if you went through all the odd numbers, infinitely many of them, you would hit pi exactly. I was taught at university that this formula for pi was discovered by the 17th century German mathematician Leibniz. But amazingly, it was actually discovered here in Kerala, 2 centuries earlier by Madhava. He went on to use the same sort of mathematics to get infinite series expressions for the sine formula in trigonometry. And the wonderful thing is that you can use these formulas now to calculate the sine of any angle to any degree of accuracy. Seems incredible that the Indians made these discoveries centuries before Western mathematicians. And it says a lot about our attitude in the West to non-Western cultures that we've nearly always claimed their discoveries as our own.
What is clear is the West has been very slow to give due credit to the major breakthroughs made in non-Western mathematics. Madhava wasn't the only mathematician to suffer this way. As the West came into contact more and more with the East during the 18th and 19th centuries, there was a widespread dismissal and denigration of the cultures they were colonizing. The natives, it was assumed, couldn't have anything of intellectual worth to offer the West. It's only now, at the beginning of the 21st century, that history is being rewritten.
But Eastern mathematics was to have a major impact in Europe, thanks to the development of one of the major powers of the medieval world.
So this is what we find. Even something like mathematics was so powerfully driven by the saints. They were not mathematicians by nature. They were just great learners of Sanskrit. And they could think so diversely. They could think so accurately. They could think so precisely. Probably because it was the culture of perfection which actually brought them the science. It was not science that brought them to perfection. And we think that science will bring us perfection. It is actually culture which brings us to the perfection of science. Science are more accurate. But then imagine all of this thing was lost. But how? it was not lost, it was practically it is the most dark the dark page of the Indian history, and probably this is what we should really remember all throughout our gatha. This is the most turning point of India, where everything that was due to India was taken away from it. And that means to stand for what we are, not what we lost for. So therefore the hidden Holocaust is something, there are accounts of Will Durant, a great historian from the USA, from America. And when he wrote the book called Case for India, you will not find this book anywhere. That book will not bring you tears, it will bring you tears of blood. Probably when I read that whole book while I was journeying, I was thinking I need a calculator to find out how many zeros add to those dollars and pounds that were taken away from India. Not just the money, but the people also were killed, the unlimited zeros. This Holocaust. We have never heard about people being killed in mass. In fact, the 25 years of, there was a very bad phase of the British rule, wherein practically there was peasants uprising. That means where the land rent act was 5 to 20% in the UK, in the Indian colony it was 80 to 90%. That means 80 to 90% of the produce was being taxed. Can you imagine? And probably they were told to grow opium. There was opium that was grown in India at the force of the colonists. And because of growing opium, there was drug menace. People were not being fed, people were dying, out of drugs. And they were mentally inefficient, physically disabled. Therefore, they brought a very weak Indian physique to the next generations. They just didn't destroy our intellectual property, they destroyed our physical prowess too. I mean, sometimes we think Indians are not that great sportsmen. Why? Because our generations came from very weak physical constitution. So the same thing is happening right away for the whole world. There is genetically modified crops, there are unlimited pesticides, fertilizers. This whole thing is going to cripple our existing physical strength. So your next generation will be simply born with diseases. They will be living diseased people. They will be diseased living people. And therefore, this is the Holocaust that is even happening right away. If you don't know the history, it is repeating anyways now. You should be just wide enough to understand what's going wrong. And therefore there's a case of Mahua Dabar. These are the colony of Bengal weavers. They were so immaculate in their weaving work. When they actually were doing so good exporting all the stuff, their hands were being cut off. Their hands were cut off, and this whole Mahua Darbar people, the whole community was wiped out because they did an uprising against the 1857 mutiny. They fought against the British. The whole village was wiped out only till last 25, I think so, in 2008 this village was discovered back. That it is on the map of India. Can you imagine? That village was wiped out from the map of India. This was the kind of tyranny that the British were doing. There was a PWD conspiracy where villagers were doing their own water resource harvesting. They were taking care of the community water resources. The British took away their rights and made them as forced laborers. They were supposed to work by force, not the owners. And if they won't work, then they would be forced to pay fine too. So what was their own was told now that you have to be working involuntary for it. So people lost their interest to take care of their water bodies. India was great just because of water. Produce coming from water, grains, cotton, textiles, it is all because of water and grains and land. So the British destroyed the water resource, and then they brought the later, and they destroyed the cattle too. This is what we discuss, all of these things, and they derated the robust education system. There are more Shudras learning in our schools than the Brahmins. There are records of the British in their own library in London. The first slaughterhouse in India was started by Robert Clive, and Muslims are being employed there, and they were told that it is in their religion, in their interest to eat cows or the beef. That's how they spread the animosity between Hindus and Muslims. 30,000 cows slaughtered per day. That was the first slaughterhouse started by Robert Clive. Babur and Akbar dismissed such a thing, while Robert Clive made it mechanized. And therefore that was how the hidden holocaust was taking place, whilst Sephond Amalek. There are war crimes. So I would say that war crimes were done in India much more than any other country. Probably our history textbooks will never contain all of these things, because if they contain, then there will be uprising right away. And probably after so much of sedation of the facts, it's difficult for you to get up again. You have become impossible to fight. We can't even stand up now and fight. So therefore, it's time to rise. India is now at the cusp of a rising era. And this is where the youngsters, especially the youth of the country, needs to bring back their culture, bring back their prowess, bring back their wisdom, legacy. The saints were scientists. And now scientists will have to become like saints, will have to spread that science everywhere. And probably this is what happened when the latest Mangalyaan was launched. How many of you remember this NYT cartoon? Anyone seen this cartoon before? What is this cartoon talking about? They are poor Indians, the farmer. Then the cow is going to the space club. Space. Oh, see, ultimately, even if they come dressed with this. The same colonial mindset was there. There's a harsh reaction to this NYT article. But then nature had its own reaction. After some few months, there are two space shuttles. One was, I think so, by Virginia, Atlantic. They wanted to go to the space for space travel. And this another rocket just exploded even at a launch pad. And now it's the ISRO's time to take their turn. It's not rocket science for us. There's nothing wrong to be proud of being Indian. Don't be so apologetic. I mean, तालियां आप कहां बजाते हैं? क्रिकेट के लिए बजाते हैं या फिर अच्छा सीन कोई मूवी में बजाते हैं? लेकिन ये तो लाइव सीन था. दिस रियली हैपेंड. देयरफॉर इफ यू रियली वांट टू थिंक अबाउट दिस इज एक्चुअली वेयर द वैमानिका शास्त्र केम फ्रॉम. द फर्स्ट पर्सन टू फ्लाई एन एयरप्लेन वॉज अ मुंबईकर. बी प्राउड टू बी मुंबईकर्स नाउ. शिवकर बापूजी तलपडे महाराष्ट्रातच ब्राह्मण होते आणि चिरा बाजार मध्ये राहायचे ते. व्हेरी क्लोज बाय हियर. ही वॉज अ पंडित. ही वॉज नॉट अ सायंटिस्ट. अ पंडित कुड फ्लाय अ प्लेन इन इंडिया. अ कॉबलर कुड डू प्लास्टिक सर्जरी. अँड डू वी नीड आर्यन्स एनी मोर? यू टू मेनी आर्यन्स हियर. प्रोबॅबली दे नीड अस मच मोर. दे लर्न अ लॉट ऑफ थिंग्स फ्रॉम हियर. And actually, I just want to show you something which really much inspired me. This is a NASCOM video, very nice video, probably like this one. we shouldn't shy away from our credits, actually what is due to, and therefore let's just so here it goes. Here it goes. And guess what would happen with this technology? Immediately the IT technology has worked upon it. Okay. This needs to get in. Okay. We need some Indian geniuses here. This PowerPoint. So, probably this is where we will take our further journey from here. So therefore, this is the time for our youngsters, all of us, to think further as to which way we want to take India forward. With full of ignominy, self-doubt, or you want to take the stride that India actually is due to credit for. So therefore, this is a short presentation. I would just like to... This is where we would talk about our vision further. India needs a robust future. India needs a robust food security. India needs to feed its millions of people with equity, with sustainability. This resource has to be harnessed very responsibly. And each one needs to become a stakeholder in India's prosperity. So everyone has a role to play. And therefore we have something coming up for all of you, is the India Rising event, which will come up in the January, starting from Makar Sankranti, the most auspicious time of our year, and we'll start with the various traditional ways of rising. The first, the kite should fly high, right? That's the emblem of India. So this is like we celebrate this with these festivals of harvest. India used to have 3 harvests in a year, once upon a time. And that's what the celebration of Makar Sankranti was. You had to have bountiful of food grains. And that was what this Makar Sankranti celebration meant. It's time to come back, and we have a lot of other functions. This is to glorify all the arts of India which the British killed them. It's time to live them. It's to give them a life back again. So artisans from all over the villages would be promoted to bring back their state of arts back to the standard. And therefore, this is our Dharohar. Our Dharohar is our farm, our lands, our farmers. They are not just the people who grow or give us metal or industry. So this is going to be also honoring all those Jawans of India and the farmers of India. And here is the festival of India with the Rath Yatra, the most colorful, the more vibrant festival of India, the grand festival of India, which even the British would wanted to stop it. But couldn't stop it, but it started in London by Srila Prabhupada's grace. Srila Prabhupada was that one Indian who had confidence in India. He has confidence in India that India, even one thing if India can give to the whole world will be saved. And when he was asked, why have you come here? Srila Prabhupada said, you forgot to loot something which I came back to give you that. we should allow very selective looting. Right? And Srila Prabhupada did that. So let us follow in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps. He was 70-year-old young Indian. I hope you are not older than him. You want to be younger than him? As young as him, at least. And therefore this is a chance for all of us to bring back that same thing. And therefore the Bharat Gata is, there are a lot of speakers. In fact, Juhiji is to grace that event just last year. And I would just request all young people here to take up a cause for the Bharat that we want to be, not that we are apologetic for. Right? So I hope you are not apologetic anymore for the Bharat. Are you?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Still we need another prerna. So, but this is the prerna to come for the future. Let's take it further. Let's take a small step. Let's start with zero. If zero can do so much, something so big, then let's start with zero. So that's the glory of Indian civilization. Even zero can create revolutions. That is India. So never think that you're a zero. If you're zero, you're great. Feel great about it. Right? So therefore, this is a small membership form. If you want to do a lot of things, whatever way that you can contribute to the nation, to the culture, to the heritage, to the legacy of wisdom is available here. And therefore we have joined the force, become a rising Indian. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I didn't ask just to clap. You've got to do something more, actually. But at least let us clap together. And we've seen this clapping for this cause for the first time. Yes, I hope that I've done my little bit of service. And we wish that we take this as a movement. Srila Prabhupada wanted to go all over the world. And let's start with India back again. Right? Let India be the epicenter of the next revolution. The next spiritual revolution, the next cultural revolution, and where we all will be stakeholders and not spectators. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. And I'd like to invite, in fact, Srimati Juhi Chawla is actually fighting for one such cause. And practically that cause is so critical for our youngsters. I just requested her that she should speak for the youngsters specifically, because they are simply technologically led. We are going to deal with technology, but we have to deal with technology very wisely. Prabhupada said the wisdom of the East and the technology of the West, both have to be blended. Not that we simply take the technology of the West. So I am very grateful to Juhiji for coming this evening. In fact, wanted just to have her to come for the presentation, but she has very graciously sat back to the whole presentation to just to inspire all of you youngsters to take the Bharat Gata seriously. Hare Krishna.
So let us thank His Grace Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu for His wonderful presentation by three times loudly chanting. Thank you very much. We like to welcome all those wonderful boys, youth who have come for the very first time today for the Prerana Festival. Can you please kindly rise so we can properly see you? All those who came for the very first time today. Aaj jo pehli baar aaye hain yahan par Prerana Festival mein, kripa khade ho jaiye. Wonderful. So, I hope you must have got a special coupon with you, a white coupon. So a special gift is awaiting you downstairs after the program is over. Please kindly collect your gift before leaving the campus. So let us welcome all these wonderful special youth who have come for the first time today by loudly chanting three times. Thank you very much. Please take your seats. There are a few announcements for all of you. We're going to have a special yatra called as IYS Yatra. We have been taking this yatra for the last 11 years. And every time around 800 to 900 people like you join us. And this particular time, we're taking the yatra to Chitrakoot. Chitrakoot is an amazing place, a scenic place, completely untouched with the modern world. This is a place where Lord Ram, along with Sita and Lakshman, spend 12 years of their exile. So we're going to this yatra. So more details of the yatra is available on iosmumbai.com, and also we have a stall downstairs. So check in there. A promo was already shown before this program got commenced, and we will show another promo after the program is over. The annual drama festival, which takes place at the Birla Matushri, connected by ISKCON Society here, is on 7th and 8th of Jan. And tomorrow is the last day for booking your tickets, so kindly book your tickets before it's too late. As Krishna Chaitanya was mentioning about the Bhagavad Gita, so this particular month happens to be the Gita Jayanti month. This is the month actually in which Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna 5,000 years back. So on the occasion of Gita Jayanti, we are offering a very concession price for Bhagavad Gita. So we wish that students, youth who has come here, can take advantage of it. So you can all go down after the program and you can buy one Gita if you don't have with you. And if you want to share this knowledge of Gita with others, you can also take one more with you. And a special concession is given. We also been told that if someone wants to take more copies, we can also give home delivery to you. We also have a special book, a series of book, three book series, compiled from the past Prerna lectures, transcription of that into book form. So this three book set is also available today at a discount price. The original price is 300, but today available for only 200 rupees. So you can also collect that downstairs. Those who are interested in japa meditation, we also have a japmala available, chanting beads downstairs. And if you want to know more and more, which we cannot speak just in few minutes, if you want to know more and more about of the various programs which we have and the IYS Chopati in general, in particular, you can go on the Facebook for IYS Mumbai and also iskon.chopati. Hare Krishna. Now we want to invite our special guest today. We have with us Mrs. Juhi Chawla Mehta. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Everyone knows her, but we'll make an attempt to introduce her too here. Okay. Yes, please. Krishna Chaitanya has told me to at least in the presentation, which one? Nothing.
May I stand there?
Yes.
On the. Want me to stand and speak?
You can sit or you can stand, whichever you choose.
Okay. Of course, please. Thank you very much.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. पहले मैं आपकी दाद देती हूं. दो घंटे हो गए. अगर पिक्चर इधर उधर हो जाती तो आप लोग भाग जाते बीच में. आज इतना अच्छा लेक्चर हुआ है, कोई हिला नहीं है. हिला क्या, यहां तो और भी लोग आ गए, और भी लोग आ गए, और भी लोग आ गए. जरा ध्यान से देखना, यहां से वहां तक सब फुल, कंप्लीट, कंप्लीटली फुल. आप सी से कुछ कह रहे थे ना, कैरेक्टर, कल्चर, सिविलाइजेशन। मैं एक और सी ऐड करना चाहती हूं, कंप्लीट। इट इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट टू बी कंप्लीट एंड आई एम सो हैप्पी टू सी वी आर हियर कंप्लीट। एक प्रॉब्लम आ रही है बीच में, आपका ध्यान आपके फोन पर है, सच है। अब इतना कंप्लीट है तो मैं आपका ध्यान कहीं और भी लेकर जाना चाहती हूं। आप लोगों ने कभी इस जगह को ध्यान से देखा है? आज देख लो। अगर ये स्क्रीन नहीं होती ना, इस एंड से उस एंड तक काम देख लो, कितना सुंदर है। ब्यूटिफुल मोटिव्स, ब्यूटिफुल सिमेट्री, सिमेट्री प्लीजिंग टू द आई, ब्यूटी। इट इज कंप्लीट। कैन यू सी? कैन यू सी इवन वन स्पेस ओवर देयर व्हिच इज क्या कहें, आउट ऑफ सिंक और अनडन, अनफिनिश्ड। एवरीथिंग इज कंप्लीट, एवरी फ्लावर, एवरी लीफ, एवरी कर्व। एंड देयर इज कंप्लीट सिमेट्री। अब मैं आपसे रिक्वेस्ट करूंगी, सब लोग अपना फोन बंद कर दो। कंप्लीट, सच्ची सच्ची मेरी बात मान लो, फोन ऑफ कर दो। और इस दृश्य को एंजॉय करो। मैं तो कहती हूं स्क्रीन को जरा हटाइए प्लीज, सच में हटाइए, टिल्टेड लाइक दैट, ऐसा ऐसा कर दीजिए, ऐसा कर दीजिए, हाँ पीछे ले, ये हटाइए, ये हटाइए, just push it up। अरे देखते जाइए और क्या क्या होता है। अब आपको ध्यान आएगा कि वो काली सी चीज और ये फ्लैट सा स्क्रीन, wasn't it an eyesore? Did it look pleasing to you? Did that screen look pleasing to you? Did that black box on that black stand look pleasing to you? How does it look now? Suvarna, shining, rich, complete. Look at the chandeliers above. Look at the beauty. Look at the chandeliers. Symmetry. Beauty. Complete. Look at the jharokas. हाँ वो पीपल डिस्टर्ब कर रहे हैं, मगर सिर्फ झरोखों को देखोगे। अगेन अगेन सिमेट्री, ब्यूटी इन आर्ट, कंप्लीट। कहीं ऐसा आधा टेढ़ा टेढ़ा इस तरह बेढंगा कहीं नहीं है। इन पेंटिंग्स को देखिएगा, ध्यान से देखिएगा, ध्यान से देखिएगा। जाने से पहले वक्त गुजार के जाइएगा या आज ही देखिएगा. ईच पेंटिंग इज कंप्लीट. इस ध्यान से देखिए, हर चीज पूरी है, कंप्लीट. इट इज परफेक्ट. इट इज परफेक्ट बिकॉज इट इज कंप्लीट. किसी का नाक नहीं कटा हुआ है, किसी की साड़ी ऊपर नहीं है, किसी का पल्लू गिरा नहीं है. किसी की गाय का कोई पांव टूटा नहीं है. ईच वन इज कंप्लीट. एंड देन यू विल सी ईच वन इज ऑल्सो कंप्लीट बिकॉज दे आर कंप्लीटली इन दैट मोमेंट. ईच पेंटिंग इज कंप्लीटली इन दैट मोमेंट. इफ यू जस्ट स्टे विद इट फॉर अ वाइल यू बी टेकन ट्रांसपोर्टेड. Because it is just filled with love, complete. This is the beautiful world of Krishna, complete. And that is what? This is the world of Krishna. Complete. आज निकलने के बाद ना चांद को जरूर देखना. आज पूर्णिमा की रात है. Even the moon tonight is complete. Today everything is complete. You are a very lucky lot of people. Because from this world, when you go out now, you'll see that complete. And I just want to say, why am I saying this complete, complete, complete to you all the time? Because try it for yourselves in your life. Try it for every moment that you live. Even when I was disturbed and I went to my guru. He said, in your home, and main chahungi aaj aap ye sab kare. Go in your home. Take out anything that is incomplete. Go for complete beauty, complete art. Be complete even in yourself, the way you dress, the way you think. Be complete. No half measures. No half measures. We are being told compromise kar lo. Zindagi ye hai. Galat hai. Zindagi wo nahi hai. Ye to nonsense chal raha hai. If you want this beauty, and you can have it. This didn't only exist for Krishna. He is just a metaphor for you to realize that all you want to do is just be complete. Ghar jana. Agar cheeze ghar mein padi hai, jo ki aap istamal nahi kar rahe, aur soch rahe, haan, main karunga, ye main rakhta hoon, main. Take it out. Keep only those things that you are going to use. Be complete. Only take in your thali the food that you can eat. Don't take more. Don't take less. Complete. No painting in the house which is teda meda, because it's giving you somewhere it is giving you a message. It's okay. Chalta hai yaar, sab chalta hai. Nahi, nahi chalta hai. Let's be complete. So go home and take off anything that is making you chalta hai. another thing that is that was vishay tha mera but it is disturbing you because aapki attention jab hum bolte hain ki be here with us even during a lecture agar aadha time dhyan idhar hai to lecture kaise complete hoga kaise samajh aayegi so what is also disturbing you is this constant modern technology telling you you have to be connected आपका ध्यान वो कहीं भी केंद्रित होने ही नहीं देगी वो केंद्रित होने ही नहीं देगी क्योंकि आपका ध्यान तो हमेशा भटका रहेगा अरे किसी का फोन है अरे मेरी मेल आई अरे किसी वो तो वो होने वाला था आप कंप्लीट कैसे होंगे आप तो और इनकम्प्लीट होते जाएंगे सो कम बैक टू दिस इट्स वेरी सिंपल Go home and take out everything that is not complete. Why am I complete? Why am I saying that? The circle. It is complete. Zero. इन्होंने कहा. Zero हो गए तो अच्छा है. It is true. Zero क्यों मानते हैं? क्योंकि वो सेंटर्ड है ये लीजिए सेंटर्ड अरे वाह उन्होंने भी हरे हरे कपड़े पहने तो मैं भी कंप्लीट हो गई फिर तो आई मीन सो डू हैव टू स्टॉप राइट नाउ इट्स ओके Oh, that's beautiful then. तो मैं इन्हें सारथी मानकर आपको बता रही हूं कि जीरो होना बहुत सही बात है आप जीरो कब होते हैं जब आपके मन में कोई भी ख्याल नहीं आता बिल्कुल शांत हो गए सबसे बेस्ट ख्याल आपके तभी आते हैं When you're completely, have you ever noticed? कभी नहा रहे होते पता ही नहीं होता और वो आइडिया जिसको आप ढूंढ रहे हैं दिनों से एक सोल्यूशन वो उसी वक्त आ जाती है टंग आई रे ये तो दिस इज द सोल्यूशन टू माई प्रॉब्लम आई जस्ट फेल इन टू माई हेड या बिकॉज एट दैट टाइम यू वर जस्ट कंप्लीटली जीरो यू वर नॉट सर्चिंग यू वर नॉट ट्राइंग You were not thinking. You were just completely zero. You were just completely with Krishna. And why is it that the zero is important? Because it has a center. That centering is very important. If you can find your center, Which means if you can find yourself, if you can be yourself, क्या find क्या find क्या करना है कहीं और ढूंढने नहीं जाना है actually कहीं और ढूंढने नहीं जाना है आप खुद यहां है ना बस उसको सिर्फ पहचानना है ये मैं हूं मेरे को ये अच्छा लगता है मैं ये करूंगा किसी और की बात मत सुनना अपने अंदर के जीनियस की बात सुनना वो जो बोलता है कि मेरे को क्रिकेट खेलना है तो क्रिकेट ही खेलना मम्मी डैडी बोले नहीं नहीं बेटा फुटबॉल खेलो बिल्कुल नहीं बी सेंटर्ड इन योर सेल्फ सम हाउ योर इनर जीनियस ऑलरेडी नोज वॉट यू आर हेडेड फॉर एंड विच इज बियॉन्ड योर वाइल्डेस्ट इमेजिनेशन बट यू मी वेल नॉट मी एनी मोर नाउ We're always looking for other people's approval. Somebody will tell me what to do. No, no, no. No, just be quiet. And your inner genius will tell you what to do. It will take you there. And where it is taking you is the right place for you. So just go with it. Just be centered in yourself. Jo man se achha lage, wahi karo. और जो करो वो मन से करो बस चलिए बस इतना ही, थैंक यू सो मच, बहुत बहुत शुक्रिया।
We would like to ask Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu to offer Mrs. Juhi Chawla ji a beautiful gift. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So now we'll have a nice kirtan for the pleasure of Lord Krishna and Radharani. And then we'll have dancing kirtan and then prasadam for all of you. Thank you very much for all of you coming here. Hari Bol. Kindly sit down. We'll have a short soothing kirtan and then we'll have rising kirtan afterwards. Hare Krishna.